Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Brother Walt, I guess we own the music didn't play, so I guess we own today.
Okay.
Let me get Sister
you
Shonda
what
on with us. I said, let me get Sister Shonda on. I'll let you know when she on.
Okay.
Okay, Sister Shonda, you on two-piece.
Okay. Peace
All
and
right.
Greetings to everyone.
Peace.
All right. All right, Brother Drew. Hey, Sister Shanna get started. Esoteric knowledge, this is what we teach, is esoteric knowledge. So it might seem a little strange to some people that's because of enlightenment. See, esoteric knowledge means secret knowledge, knowledge that's been hid from you. And esoteric knowledge deal with a word. Now, for us to understand something a little bit better, Sister Shonda and Brother Drew, is in the beginning was the word. We're going to put a period there. We ain't going to say what the folks say after that. We're going to put a period right there because it is a comma there, so that means that we're supposed to stop, pause. And common sense tells us that everything that you see in creation is a word, meaning that everything that you see describes something. Everything you see is a noun, name of a person, place, or thing. And you have to use a word. That's when they say in the beginning was the word, to describe what you're speaking about in any language. So everything you see in creation is a word that we use, and it's got a definition for it. That's what's so killing about it. If you speak in this language, the word, it has it because it describes something. Sister brought to us a word called observation, observe. Well, those are key words in your life that most people don't even know the definition of. Sister Sean and Brother Drew, because if you are observing a good observation, then you see shit that other folks don't see. From observing stuff. And what Sister's going to talk about today is struggle. Well, ever since the white man come in control of a black nation of people, this word is a very important word that we need to look into, define it, and see what do it mean. Because, see, this word carries with it another word. And if you look like us, these two words done whoop your ass as long as you've been living. I've been living 73 years. If you've been living 50 or 60 years, I don't give a damn if you've been living 6 years, 2 years. These two words that she's been to deal with today, your ass has been in it if you look like me and you. And nobody seems to understand the definition and the meaning of it and what the hell it's saying. And why is you doing that? And you place the 5 W's to that, and then you'll get a lot of esoteric knowledge out of what Sister Shonda is going to talk about today. So with that, Sister, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Brother Dwyer and Brother Drew, once again for bringing me on this platform and sharing with you some things that I just be contemplating in my own mind by looking at the scope of the behavior of the people. And, you know, being able to have a conversation about this struggle, you know, is something. And the title today is How True Are You to the Struggle? And I know many of us who have been about the works of sharing knowledge with our people, this is a very serious question to us because it has been something that has defined whether or not we are true to the game of liberation or the perception of liberation. To me, it has come down to a perception. But before I get into that, I want to come back, Brother Dwight, you talked about that word. And in the beginning, it was the word. This is so, so very critical because it even in that statement, the demonstration that many people have is that you just left it blank. But, you know, in the word, most people refer to the word as the Bible. And immediately that is an indication that you have lack of understanding of a word. And if the Bible is one, which has so many words in there, then we should consider that the word is either plural or is singular. But in actuality, W-O-R-D is a singular word. It just means one word. He, she, we, when, where, just one word. But if we make multiple words, like this title, you know, are you prepared? Are you down with the struggle? Are you with the struggle? Have you been struggling? All of those are plurals because it's multiple words, which then begin to form some kind of thought process to demonstrate. So today, as I have been dealing with different words based on the situation that the so-called African-American, Afro-American, Black, Negro, and colored, what we have been going through in this journey, and particularly the time frame that we have been dealing with the European, this man on this planet and his female. So the reason that I want to talk about this today is because of what I have been seeing. I have been having conversations with people who do not understand that struggle is already built into the existence of this society, of this everything. You will never get away from the struggle because why? The struggle is indeed real. But that struggle, what does it look like? What is it? How does it come to you? And are you given a notice many times before you reach what we might call the struggle? So the struggle is bound by the very existence of the code of DNA in this existence that we find ourselves. And I'm going to use the word existence. You could say existence, you could say earth, you could say cosmos, you could say galaxy. I don't care. You can say your domicile. It don't matter. Right here, right now is what we're talking about and the struggle of right here, right now. So in order for us to really get a full understanding of struggle, then there's several things that I'm going to do. Number one, as I always do, I'm going to look at the definition. And since it's easy for all of us now, we're going to go to the Google Goddess and see what she has to say about the definition. And, you know, everybody have access to the Google. You can't find, many people don't have dictionaries in their homes or forget about encyclopedias. They already out the door unless you find them at the thrift store. So use the Google Goddess. Okay, and so according to Google, and I really want to deal with all of the definitions that they have for the meaning of struggle because we're going to find the one that we need. Okay, so struggle is a verb. It says makes forceful or violent efforts to get free or restrain or constriction. And under that, it has several points. And one of the points of that definition is engage in conflict. Well, we know about that. Striving to achieve or attain something in the face of difficulty or resistance. Having difficulty handling or coping with. Makes one's way with difficulty. Now, those are all the definitions under a verb. They were all action, movement. Something had to happen. And it is also a noun. And as a noun, it reads, a forceful or violent effort to get free of restraint or resist attack. Oh, now let's go back up here and look at the what they call the verb. It says make forceful. That's a big difference. Making, that's the action that we are experiencing in the verb. But in the noun, it's a forceful or violent effort to get free or restrain or resist attack. I hope you can see and realize the difference, but so close, which is really interesting, is so close of how this noun and this verb are, but one is an action, one is a noun, meaning that there's a clear energy that is taking place, but a forceful or violent effort, the question I have is by whom? It's like a fight or a scuffle. And under that definition of a noun, it says a conflict or contest, a determined effort under difficulties, a very difficult task. And this is very important. The etymology of this word is late Middle English. They call it fricative, perhaps imitative of origin. Hold on. Somebody tried to call me. The noun dates from the late 17th century. That's just a noun. Now, they're not even telling us where the verb come from. I couldn't find that, but it clearly tells us where the noun is coming from. So that action, that force that is being forceful upon us. Who is that? Who is doing that for us?
What was the date on that word?
17th century.
17th century. Oh.
Right. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So I know the history of the 17th century. I just wanted to know that because I'm looking at the history. All right.
Okay. All right. So you can come back and talk about that a little bit. Now, here's what I want to do right now. I want to walk down the struggle. Let's talk about the struggle because life is always giving us a struggle. We're not going to get around it. First of all, we can't get around it because, number one, after understanding this complete, very complex definition, this is a real complex definition, and I really want to encourage you, and I'm going to come back and refer to it. But there is the word motion. First law, correct, Dwyer? First law?
Right, right. First
Nothing
law
comes into existence unless it is put into motion. But
right.
What does it take to move something? And how does it move? So everything, that's why I come back to this word, everything in existence has a DNA code. And in that DNA code, it is automatically built into what's supposed to happen. Now, I'm going to put the word that's supposed to happen and also say slash purpose. And we'll talk about that a little later, but if you could just make a note that I'm going to say something about that word purpose. But that it's like what that DNA code does is just what it does, if not anybody has interfered with its struggle. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take a look at a seed. If you place a seed, a good seed, put a seed in the ground, the seed automatically knows that it has to function, and it will go through a process that's automatically coded in its process to struggle. It struggles when you put it into the ground, you push it, put it over the dirt, and that seed has to press through its own existence out of its shell to pop through to get the seedling to come through the dirt. Now, let me say this. You can imagine that what it's like. We've seen all these scary movies and stuff, and people put you in the dirt, you know, burying people alive, and you ain't never seen nobody dig their ass through the dirt. So that's a hell of a thing for a seed to already be programmed with a natural struggle to bust through the ground and produce something above the ground. That is already built in. We don't have to tell the seed. We ain't got to send a message. We ain't got to pray to the God. We ain't got to send no message to the devil. We ain't got to go out there and chant. We ain't got to go out there and light a fire. We ain't got to do shit. But plant the seed, and it automatically knows its struggle. It knows what to do to come into this existence. And there's never a time that it doesn't work, that that seed don't know what it needs. The only time that anything in nature gets fucked up is when some man or some woman, because it's the woman who has to mess it up, not the female, puts their hand in there. Yes, when they put their hand in there, then something goes awry. So we consequently right now we have monster seeds, right? Because they wanted to change the DNA code of the structure that in order to bring in something that they desire to bring into existence. But by nature, it doesn't function that way unless, again, someone interrupts it. Okay, so that's
can
motion.
I say something?
Yes,
could I
please.
Say something? It won't disturb you from what you said, because let's deal with this word, S-E-E-D, seed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. You take a seed and you plant it in the earth. You can't plant it no deeper than your pinky finger. That's as deep as you can bury it. You cover it up with dirt. The seed is built in its DNA. Create a mist, a M-I-S-D-T. You can't see it. And then that mist turns to dew. You can see that. And then the dew will go up into the stratosphere. This is coming off of the sea, and it will produce a cloud. The cloud will float on air till it get heavier than gravitation. When in the cloud get heavier than gravitation, it brings back to the earth water, sleet, or hail. This is coming off of the seed. When the water hits the seed, the water go down to the seed shoots a root down into the soil, and then it start coming up through the soil, and that produces the trunk. That's the strongest part of the seed. It's the stem or the trunk. And then when it get weak, the seed get weak, it's when you get branches on it. And when it get weaker, it's when the branches produces leaves and limbs on it. And see, this coming off of this seed. See, we had that in agriculture. You know, that's what they taught in all nigger schools in agriculture, how to do a seed work. Mr. Ed Williams taught me that. His great-great-grandpa had already taught it. It was a teaching that they taught in Crockett, Texas. I don't know why. But it's so interesting about this seed. How do that seed work? And when that seed is out of balance, you got a African-American that's a hip-hopper. Go ahead, hold on, sister.
So, Brother Dwight, what you're showing us is that all of that you just gave us, the complete discovery. Yeah, I just scratched it. Thank you so much for adding to that. Is that?
Ooh, that's all. That seed is awesome. I hadn't thought about that.
But everything that you gave us was the struggle. You can't. And what does it say? Let's kind of come back. As I say, we're gonna go back to that definition again. It's a forceful effort to free. So that's what the seed is going. What's going on? The seed is forcing the effort itself. Now this is a noun. This is the natural element in oneself that is the force. Now I'm going to talk about seed in that way, because seed is really birth. It's really a form of birthing,
right,
into existence. So that seed, once it goes through its struggle of coming about, then now it's a natural. Let me see. Let me slow down for a minute. Take a good breath here. Because, man, just like the struggle of this is, I found it so complex, because many of us look at struggles and we think that it's really just all a bad thing to be in a struggle. And that's when I start looking and observing that life always is a struggle. It's about our approach toward the struggle that we need to come back and handle. At least I've realized that about myself. So birthing, seed is just like birthing. And so let's look at that. I'm going to come back to struggle, but now I'm going to go to Google, and I'm going to ask Google the meaning of, no, I'm going to ask Google this question, the meaning, the description of childbirth. That's the question I had. Or was it the street? No, I want to ask it differently. Normally, you all, I'm on my computer, but my computer is really acting really crazy. So I'm also on my phone and using my phone to look up, to go to the definitions, but I have no holding spot where I normally have them, because, you know, the phone don't allow you to open up a whole lot of different tabs. I'll just say, what is the meaning of childbirth, according to Google? Because she's so smart, you know.
She makes your teaching easy.
Yes. Okay, so here it really does. Here's how we can look at childbirth. Now, this is, it actually was the first definition on Google, which was from Wikipedia. So in this case, I do like this definition. It says, childbirth, also known as labor and delivery. Right there, immediately, we should know that's where the struggle begins. Because the labor and delivery, now that's the end part of the struggle. The laboring of carrying the child from start to finish. But even in the existence of how birth has to come into existence with the male and female who come together, and they may be, let's say they're successful, but look at all what they got to go through to become successful in having a child through the sexual ritual, and boom, it don't always happen like that, but sometime it does happen quick. You might have the first time out. All right, so now you got a child. But what that seed has to go through, that sperm has to go through to ovulate, to bring this baby into existence, is a hell of a struggle. It has to go through a whole process to even become a reality.
First of all, Sister Shana, it has to hide for 30 days. That seed has to hide for 30 days. If you was to explain that seed of birth, that's deep too. I mean, because that seed, the struggle, it has to. So when you are born, like me and you and everybody that's born, that was the strongest of the seeds, because your mama flushed the rest of them through the cycle. only one seed. He had up all up in there hiding, like Ishmael used to say, ducking and dodging. You remember that, Brother Drew? Ishmael, he said, I had to hide up in my mama so she wouldn't flush me.
And Brother Drew, here's the question. Did your mama have to force that process, or was nature already forcing it into existence?
Nature was forcing it.
Nature.
So that's back to the now, and I want to keep pointing this out because this is a now. This is a struggle that's already built into the DNA code of what has to happen, how this happens. And I'm going to talk about what we can do, but we have to get understanding. That's the other part. We got to get understanding of these words, because our concepts are off. And so, therefore, because our concepts of understanding, that means our working knowledge is poor, and our action and our behavior is not being carried out properly according to what these words really mean. So we just got to come back to some real basic understanding, and that's why I'm dealing with this right now, and I hope that I don't confuse anyone in dealing with this word struggle, because the struggle is indeed real. How true are you in the struggle? So now let's look at something else that I wanted to take a look at, since we are dealing with all of this stuff. And Brother Dwight, you brought some really fantastic points up when you talked about that seed, because you talked about what happens in the atmosphere when, you know, the mist, where the mist comes from, and how the shoot shoots up and how it, you know, bounces off the sun. So let me add to that. I have to say I looked at the DNA code that is already spunked into the existence of the seasons. Well, the seasons are a part of a year. And the first thing I wanted to know is, what is the chronological order of the seasons? Brother Dwyer and Brother Drew, do you all know? You don't have to answer. You can if you like. But do you know the chronological order of the seasons?
It should be started Abid 1, which that would be spring.
Okay.
And then you got spring, and each season carries with it a wind of hurricane. That's what we did when in the spring. This is the season of hurricane, tornado, cyclone. Then here comes summer. It carries with it a season and a wind, the south wind. Then here comes autumn, which is September. It carries with it a wind. Then here comes December. It carries with it the north wind. Each season has its own wind, the four winds. If you go into esoteric knowledge, you study the knowledge of the four winds, and it tells you about each season. You should not eat food out of season. You should not eat the food that don't grow in the season. Meaning that if it's December, you ain't supposed to be eating food that grows in the springtime because it's cold storage.
Right, and look, Dwight, look, the body already knows this. So if you're eating foods that are supposed to be consumed in December, and you're eating those foods in April, then what happens is that you immediately put your body in a struggle because you're going
right.
against the natural paradigm of the seasons of the time. So that's one of the reasons why you should eat in season, is because the body doesn't have to struggle so much because it's operating with the time of the atmosphere. So thank you so much, Brother Dwight. You're right. And
yeah,
I'm going to come back and talk about those real quick. okay, so right now we're in spring, and you heard people say you spring forward. So, you know, April showers bring May flowers. So in the springtime, it's lots of rain. You see new life. It's very colorful. You know, so you see that there is a new energy. A metamorphosis is what takes place during the season.
Mating season.
Yes, it's
mating season. It is mating season for the animals. We mate out
all
of season.
All the animals. Yes. and then, of course, as you stated, there is summer. In the summer, there is the bright, festive harvest time. You know, you can have a lot of fun. Everything is festival. And then, of course, the autumn, you see the leaves are transitioning. The time of the day is different. There's darker, it's cooler. And then the winter is coming. It's cold, it's snow, it's, you know, snowstorms and everything. So, how is this? What is this? Each season is a transition. And anytime you transition from one to another, there is a natural struggle in nature that takes place. And nature, the spring never has a, never is it trying to be replaced unless, you know, Europeans are messing with stuff when you see the weather changing because it just does what it does. We don't got to go out there and chant or do anything to change the color of the grass. It already knows that it needs to green, and it takes its, goes through the process, and it appreciates the winds and the sun because the sun, too, is hit at a different position during the different times of the year. So this is a natural DNA code that is into the existence. Nobody has to force it. It does it itself. Now, we are experiencing some forced weather conditions due to the fact that we have these wicked people who are putting chemicals and using their technology, their weatherization technology to control the weather. But still yet, despite what they are doing, we're still going through the four seasons. That's not going to change unless, you know, they put us all in a globe, which is they working on it.
It's not going to change, Sister Shonda, but Mother Nature, she rebalances herself. That's why the weather is like it is. She's rebalancing it. She's rebalancing herself as we speak right now. See, Mother Nature, you can't stop Mother Nature. Is she out of balance? The Earth, in 1960, the Earth was traveling 1,033 1/3 miles an hour. If you Google it now, you say the Earth is traveling 1,000 miles an hour. So you done lost 33 1/3 miles per hour when you're going through space. And so you're way out of balance. They told you that the Earth was wobbling when it started up. December 21st, they give you a report on when the Earth started back up. You had to understand that. But this thing here will rebalance itself. We can't rebalance ourselves until somebody get us through this struggle. Go ahead on, Sister Sonia. I just had to throw that in because Mother Earth, Mother Nature rebalances. That's why the weather. They say they don't understand the weather. You got record breaking every damn thing.
Yeah,
that deals with weather. Because they started weather modification in 1948. And if you hip the weather modification, the knowledge of weather modification, This is why the weather and shit is now. This is why the ecosystem is all messed up. This is why everything, if you notice, everything is a giant now. They got giant, they got the biggest, big rattlesnakes. They never had rattlesnakes this big. They never had frogs this big. Animals is growing this big because animals eating other animals and they're getting steroids through the dumps.
Uh-huh.
And these animals, this ecosystem, this is a hell of a subject you come up with.
Well, thank you. And now the struggle, what's happening to the animals is happening to the human animal, the human being. We're looking at young people who are big in every aspect, big in height and big in weight. And they're, you know, struggling with this new existence that's coming in because the body has to adjust itself to all of these poisons and chemicals that are rearranging the natural DNA code. So we're seeing that. Now I would like to deal with us as people who are in the struggle. And what I did was I came to the 5 W's and the 1 H in order to create a thought-provoking movement or make you move toward looking at this a little bit more closely. So I don't think that I can do justice with talking about the struggle as a person without bringing the word purpose in, because this is a lot of things people will be like, you got to find your purpose. What is your purpose in life? Whatever your purpose is, you need to be on your purpose. You know, so you hear a lot of these, all these motivational speakers and stuff talk about what's on your purpose. But, and I'm going to come back to the fact that the purpose is already built in us when we come in here into this existence. The problem is that we don't know what our natural purpose is. But if we look in nature, we should be able to identify that we do have a natural nature, which is the purpose of us coming here, just like it is for the bee. The bee knows what it needs to do. It's on purpose every single day. It doesn't get off purpose no matter what. It is always on purpose. You ain't seeing no bees lollygagging up the street. They're always on purpose. So if the bee has a clearly defined purpose, and the ant, and I, from what I understand, is that the Bible as a book tell people to study the ants and the bees. Is that correct, Brother Dwyer?
They say the ant is people. Going on, I'll find this scripture.
Okay, all right. Okay, so here's what purpose says, the definition of purpose says. This is Google. Purpose, noun. The reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. That's pretty interesting. And the verb, and they call it formal, have as one's intention or objective. Now, that's the one right there. It ain't even the first one. It's not even a major one. But most people want to know their purpose, and they go immediately to the second definition, have as one's intention or objective. That's the one that they go to. That is not the main one. The main one that is built into us is the reason for which something is done or created, that word right there, or for which something exists. What are we here for? I sure in the hell want to know, because I'm telling you, I said, and I know people probably think I'm crazy, but I didn't ask to come to this motherfucker. Why? Because it is crazy, it's vicious, it is hard, and every single day you got somebody on your back, baby. And if you're back, if you're black, as they call us, then we got a whole bunch of niggas on our back. Ain't no everybody on black people black. Everybody feeds off the backs of blacks, every nationality, every situation. Ain't nothing in this existence can exist without the ritual of putting the blacks down. So anyway, purpose. There always is a purpose. But here's what we're going to come back to. In knowing your purpose, look at your purpose as your struggle. Who is struggling? Are you struggling right now? Do you realize your struggle? Have you obtained what you're struggling for? This is a question that we have to ask ourselves. The next question in those five W's is the what. What are you willing to struggle for? A lot of times we want something, you know, but are we willing to struggle for it? I'll give you my own example. Well, I like nutrition. I think nutrition is important. I think that, you know, this is very critical to our existence. So I had wanted to teach nutrition, share my information that I had, you know, and my experiences, and let people know what the things that they can do to, you know, to feel good, maybe even look good. Well, I started getting out there and teaching people, putting seminars together and workshops. And I found one of the biggest frustrations ever in my life, dealing with some grown-ass people who want to eat up on all kind of stuff, even though they sick and have all types of ailments, but and they have an intellectual understanding that slopping up on a rib is not good for the body, but yet they still eat it. And I couldn't deal with that struggle. That I just couldn't deal with the stupidity of somebody calling me up and asking me to help them after they had ate pig feet. Woo! That was not my struggle. So I had to give that part of my life up because the struggle wasn't big enough. It wasn't what I needed to struggle for. I wasn't willing to struggle for that no matter what. That's when you found your struggle. Your struggle is what you're willing to do no matter what. And then the question is, where? That where can look like your location. Where are you going to do it? Where are you right now in that struggle? Where do you want to be in that struggle? Where is a question that you have to ask. Because in order for you to know, like, for example, you know, I mean, let's say you might be in a location where I can't think of it right now, but I'll just give a real full example. You might have a product that will be do best in Florida. Oh, here we go. You live in Alaska, and you have come up with a perfect design for a swimsuit. Well, you ain't going to sell that swimsuit design in Alaska. You might have to move your location to Florida, where Miami, where, you know, walking in the snow with a bikini ain't nothing. So where are you? And that's just one part of it. You could take that whole point. That's why I said, where are you in a struggle? Where do you want to be? Where is your location? And now when? The time is the factor when you look at when. The time of the factor of it being what you want to the point that you're discovering how much time you're going to put into it. Are you going to struggle on what you're struggling for? Sometimes, every now and then, part-time, full-time. Are you going to do it for 3 years, 10 years, 20 years? Or is it your lifetime struggle? Is it that you've made this struggle slash purpose, because I want to put them together now, so because you've got to see them that way in order for you to move forward. Like, for example, I'll use another example. You say somebody who, this guy, he said he loved to sing. He said he was a musician. He learned how to play the drums and the guitar. This is his example. And he loved that. He thought he loved it anyway. So he said he got a band. He started a band, and they toured, and they did all of this stuff, you know, together. And he found that the frustration of trying to bring artists together on a one single platform was the most difficult task that it just rendered him to the fact that that wasn't his struggle. He wasn't willing to really. He didn't want to do it. So you got to find what you are willing to struggle for. When are you going to start your struggle? When did you start your struggle? Perhaps you're already in it. And when is it going to be over? Go back to the factor of the time. Is it one day, every day, or is it a lifetime? And then you have to look at your why. Oh, the why. Why will I struggle every day for something? Why is the struggle important? Mostly everybody struggle for the future. Mostly everybody struggle for the future of themselves in older age. You struggle for the future of owning things. You struggle for the future of comfort, of living in a comfortable situation. But we've gotten so far out in our struggles that we've missed it. We've missed the balance of the struggle because here you come, you got a poor Negro that now you so poor, you've been in dirt and poverty all your life, you got a lump sum of money, and you go out and buy a car. Wow, that's fun. That's stupid. But we do it. We go out and buy a fancy car. But what happens to the future? We got to come back to that struggle. You're going to struggle to pay the car note, so you're going to struggle to pay the maintenance on there, even if you, you know, pay cash for it. The struggle is always there. Everything is a struggle. But what happens to the money of the future? What happens to that? So the future, we got to look at the big frame. The big frame is a better future for us all. But how do we get there? So these questions, we have to ask ourselves these questions in order for us to be able to discover our own purpose. What, there are some families that already have their purpose. Like, let's say, for example, there are some people that family already had a trade that seemed like they were natural, like a carpenter. There are some men that not only just them, but like all of their sons, somebody, their family are just great with their hands. They can build. They know how to put things together. And this is a natural process for these people. So I would begin to say in looking at them is that this family purpose is to build. Build structures, build homes, show others what to do. Then now they have come together on their purpose and their struggle. So as a unit, when you find your struggle, then you can teach this to your children. See, we got it all messed up. We think that we should let our children do what they want to, go to school and do what they want to. We should not, because we should teach them that life is a struggle. You better get on this goddamn struggle with me so that in the end, I will be successful, which means that you will be successful. And when you are successful, we create a new successful paradigm for the future. And so we are letting our children, we send them to school to study stuff that ain't, that mean they're going to come back and be a, for somebody else, because we don't really understand that the struggle is to find the purpose. And Brother Dwyer, I'm going to use you as an example. And if you get mad at me, I don't even care. All right? Your daddy was a cook, had a business, had a restaurant, and you knew how to cook and run his restaurant and do every damn thing else he did in that restaurant. But exactly, you did not choose his struggle. You chose another struggle.
If what was so killing about it, exactly, like he did it, don't he sent a message from your ass to your brain. So you learn how to do it exactly like he did it. That, me and my sisters, we talk about that. That's right. You did it exactly like he did. He had to okay it. and you be looking for his okay.
But he already has set the struggle paradigm for your family, which was that you all come from a family of cooks, and all of y'all cook right now today. It ain't not one of y'all that can't get down. And I done had dinner with you and your family, your sisters, and everybody cooked because your father had already set the purpose and the struggle for the family. But if the female is not in order and not have understanding of the purpose and the struggle, then you send your children off to college and get a degree so they can go struggle with somebody else.
And you know something, you just made me realize all of us as musicians, we had to struggle with both of them people beating the hell out of us. Mama beat me so bad that her assistant music teacher had to call and say, "Dorothy, I'll teach Junior piano lesson because you're going to beat him to death." I was about 6 years old. Shit. If we had to learn both of them, they'd go,
So it didn't matter. So y'all already had it in there. But I'm just using you because I know that you have shared with us over the years a lot of yourself and your life, and I know you as well. So, and I've, like I said, y'all can cook for one thing. Y'all all can burn, baby. Cook, bake. Baking and cooking. So let me see, that's what I'm saying. Y'all could have a conglomerate of whatever kind of restaurants that you would have wanted. But we didn't do that. I didn't do that. My father was one of the most coldest mathematical men that you could ever even see. Boy, that man could do math so fast and do different types of formulas. And he showed us how to do some of those things. But I didn't practice it. I didn't stay on purpose with my father. If I would have, boy, ain't no telling what kind of economic situation I would find myself in at this time had I been on the struggle of my parents. But we've lost our way because we have no honor in our understanding. But I think that this needs to be a teaching. If we teach our children that I don't care what kind of job you get, I don't care if you become a lawyer, you become a doctor, you can become a janitor. Every last one of them come with a course of struggle. You are going to struggle no matter what you choose in life. And right now we have an adversary that puts in additional traps, different additional courses of complicated courses in our lives. They put in things that are seen and unseen, difficulties that we don't know, but we experience them because we realize that it should not be that way. Why am I struggling? Becky ain't struggling like this. We got the same qualifications. But because she's Becky, she get a pass, and I'm Shonda, and I get put on my ass. That's what happens.
Wrong color. People that look like us should, if you study your history has been nothing but struggling.
Right.
It's been a struggle for very little peace of mind has a black man. I won't say black, I hate that word, but somebody look like me and you. Has been through. I don't give a damn who you are. This is a hell of a word that needs to be taught in the church house.
Yes, in the mosque, in the synagogue. That word struggle. And I took a kind of different approach to it, but the fact is that the reason that I took this approach is I just really wanted people to know that the struggle is always there, that we really have to just decide what we want to struggle for, and we also have to teach our children that the struggle is there. So therefore, we need to struggle as a family, because when you struggle as a family, you build a community in your house, And as we have been teaching, a community is a government. Then you can set your laws and your bylaws in, and you can become an individual community, a government. When you become a government, governments do business with governments. Right now, we're still considered tools and slaves, and we're straw people. They don't give us real life. They use us as a corporate entity. So once you understand that part of the existence that we're in right now, then we should set up our families like governments. This way we could operate better, one with one another, because we will operate government to government. And governments is where things happen. It's not just with the individual people. So Brother Dwyer and Brother Drew, thank you so very kindly. I hope that I was able to deliver this message, because it was a struggle.
that's an awesome word. I'm gonna have to sit down and do some writing on it.
Yes, please do, and come back and share with us.
In your Bible, at chapter 30, verse 25, the book of Proverbs, it says, "The ancients are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer." There you go with that month. See, they prepare their meat in the summer, meaning they stock up food for the wintertime. They actually, two seasons that they have to stock up food, the summer and autumn. This is a heavy proverb if you get off into it.
Go ahead, Dwight, I'm sorry.
It says the Cooney are but a feeble folks, yet they build their houses in the rocks, meaning that the Cooney, they build their houses way away from their enemies.
Yeah.
They build it in the rocks. That's heavy stuff, because, see, Elijah Muhammad told you, if you watch the A and the B, you got nothing. He's absolutely right. That old folks used to teach us that.
But that's community, and they know what their duty are. They ain't arguing and fighting on nothing. You got more chores than I do. You got a bigger paycheck. No, they are community. They are already have their things set in order, and they are working on a governing process that is already put into nature. And this is where we need to learn from. We got to study. We got to go back to some of the basic things and just realize that nature is going to show you the way. And as you share with us, it will adjust itself to show you a new way of how to overcome the struggle, just as we do. If you can't, it's almost like a jar. You're trying to get that jar open and you ain't got enough grip. You ain't got enough, your hands oily or wet or whatever, or you ain't got enough strength or what. You go and you try and get something and help you open it and hit it at the bottom or run it under some hot water, because you want to overcome the difficulties, which is the struggle, so that you can open it up. And that's what it's time for us to do right now, is we must open up our minds like the parachute, so that we could receive all this information that has been coming from you from this wonderful channel. And I'm glad to be a part of that today, as I have been in the past. So thank you, Brother Drew, and thank you, Brother Dwyer, once again for having me on today.
Right. Thank you.
We learned a whole lot today. Shema Yahweh, Yah, Amen, Yah, Ika, Kamariah.
Kamariah.